new Bible tonight.
Thank you very much. I use the kid Bible, boy. I got so tickled when I got a Bible tonight. Bless my heart. And it's one of these Bibles called the Define King James Bible. And it's got a lot of great notes in it, and certainly appreciate it very much. Thank you very much. Take your Bible tonight and turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Marriage is a wonderful thing. I said marriage is, you guys missed that one. You better shout or something. But marriage is a wonderful thing. Yeah, now you're talking. Amen. A small boy came to home from playing. He climbed up to his mama's lap. He said, "Mama," he said real seriously, "where was Daddy born?" And Mama said, "In Michigan." And then he looked at her and says, "Where were you born?" And his mama smiled fondly and said, "I was born in Iowa." He said, "Where was I born?" "You're born in Minnesota." And then he smiled with his wonderful grin. He says, "Boy, isn't it wonderful we all got together?" Yeah, that happened at our house a long time ago. Amen. You heard of the fellow who married his wife because he wanted someone to cook and clean his house for him? The problem was that's what she married him for. I thought I'd get a laugh out of that. I thought that was funny. I thought that was really funny. You didn't think that was funny? It was the truth. Oh, okay. Oh, I see. A wife said to her husband on Christmas morning, "Oh, honey, you're an angel. This is just what I needed to exchange to get what I want." Not funny? All right. There you go. You got one sleeping on your lap there. You can't laugh. All right. Dr. Richard DeHaan. Anybody know Dr. Richard DeHaan? Not Dion. Richard DeHaan. He was the famed Back to the Bible broadcast brother. His father used to say, "The nearest thing to heaven on earth is a happy Christian home." Home is the mother's glory, the children's paradise, and the father's kingdom. Home is a place where the world of strife is shut out and the ocean of life is shut in. All right, let's stand and read the Word of God tonight. I might as well preach. I'm not getting any people laughing here. So, all right. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning at verse 21. "Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be unto their own husband in everything. Husbands, love your wife, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water and by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, by that it should be holy and without blemish." But that it should be holy and without blemish. "So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, But I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Father, I pray tonight you'd speak to our hearts. We come to you with gratitude and thankfulness for the spouse that you've given us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the good times and the rough times. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the times that are very difficult, that are inconvenient. But thank you, Lord Jesus, most of the time it's blessed. So, Lord, help us tonight that we would trust you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. First of all, the husband and wife relationship is the highest, most important, and most enduring relationship of all human ties, according to the Word of God. In marriage, a man and a woman become one flesh. They are bonded together in union and embrace the whole personality. When a couple is married, God joins them, and man has no right to dissolve that unique combination of a person. Marriage is for life. Matthew chapter 19, verse 4, and he answered and said unto them, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made male and female, and said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore, they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. Number two, God intended that the marriage would be a lifelong relationship. Brother Rudy Smith's gal that takes care of his wife, she told me last time I saw her, she said, now, preacher, I want you to pray for me. I want to get married. And I says, Rosie, I says, you don't want to get, yes, I do. And I was messing with her, you know. And I said, well, why do you want to get married? I said, somebody take care of you. No, she said, I want to take care of somebody else. I said, okay, I got that. That's fine. And she said, but preacher, but I don't want to get in a hurry. I've seen too many people get in a hurry. I want the right one. And all God's people ought to say, amen. And so last night I was writing to them, him and to Pastor Rudy, and when I do that, I also write to him, so both of it get the same text. And I said, you still looking for a man? Wound her up a little bit, amen. And she said, yes, I am. You still praying? I said, yeah, I'm praying. But I said, you make sure you get the right one, amen, because it ain't good. You get the wrong one, brother. You wish you... It's better to want something you don't have than have something you can't get rid of. Something like that. But anyway, it's a lifelong relationship. There's a lot of things you're looking at. My dad told me one time, he's a farmer, and he said, you know, I just don't understand people. He says, you know, if I'm going to buy an animal to breed and to build my flock or build my herd, he says, I'm very careful, very skeptical on the animal that I buy, or the animals that I buy. He said, I just can't understand. Some of these people, they just, you know, they go out with a girl one night and they want to marry her, you know, or go out with the guy. He said, son, don't do that. He said, check out the pedigree, amen. But it's a lifetime deal. It's a lifetime deal. One man said, it is a life term. To some people, it is, you know. But make sure you get the right one. Make sure you pray and beg God. I told her last night, she says, usually Satan brings his best and then God brings you his best. And so be very careful how you choose and be very careful. See what they, you know, the Bible says, as the mother, so is the daughter. So, fellas, you need to look at mama and we'll see how she acts, see how she treats her husband, see how she treats her family. And it'll make a lot. That's a really big deal. Big deal to watch him, amen. I heard one guy said. He said, you know, he said, mama, he says, I went over to my girlfriend's house. You can eat off the floor. She said, really? Yeah, she said, there's peas and corn and potatoes. And thank you. I'm glad some of you did get that. Amen. Yeah, all right. Number three, not always a life. Not only is the marriage the highest and most important and enduring relationship in human ties, it is intended to be a lifelong relationship. But number three, God intended for marriage to have spiritual unity. Spiritual unity. Be not unequally yoked. The Bible said we're not to marry an unsaved person. We're supposed to marry someone who is equally in love with the Heavenly Father. Well, that's important. I've seen a lot of people tell me, well, I know that he'll change. What kind of creek water are you drinking? They won't change. They're going to get worse. Because they finally got you, and now they'll just let off on a lot of stuff. If they weren't going to church when you met them, I'll guarantee you they won't keep going to church unless they get really, really saved, like my mama used to say, you might. But that's a terrible chance to take. The Bible says, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light and dark with darkness? So God intended marriage to have a spiritual unity. I'm really concerned about some of these people who are marrying outside of fundamentalism and independent churches. I'm really sorry about it. There's a lot of crazy stuff going out in the ministry today. A lot of churches are just tipping over. They're on their side. They don't know what they believe anymore. It just breaks my heart as I see some of these men that at one time were my friends who have grabbed the brass ring and going another way. They say, well, this is the way you build a church. I don't care if there's two or three in your church. As long as you're staying straight with the Word of God, bless God, that's what God wants. He's going to judge us for faithfulness, not amount of people. Faithfulness. God expects faithfulness. God expects sacrifice. God expects us to give our lives completely to Him. So God intended marriage to have a spiritual unity. Number four, marriage is to have biblical pattern. Marriage is to have a biblical pattern. Ephesians chapter 5, 22 through 25. I read it tonight. Wives, submit yourself unto your own husband as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Verse 25. Husbands, love your wife, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Hey, marriage should have a biblical pattern. I tell you what, I want my marriage to have a biblical pattern because he's the inventor of it. God made us. God told us this is how we're supposed to act. And if you act that way, you'll have a success in your marriage. I didn't marry that beautiful little girl back there to have trouble. I married that little girl back there that we would be in unity, that we would work together, and that we would love together. For about a year, less than a year, I said, well, I'm not going to have any kids. Not going to do it. I looked at the world back in 1969 and I says, well, I don't want any kids. And then some leather-long preacher got up and says, if y'all don't have children, who's going to raise them up to serve God? So, a year and a half later, we had our first baby, amen. And it's our responsibility to raise these kids up, serve God. Who's going to tell people about Jesus Christ if our kids don't? Amen. Who's going to train them? Who's going to raise them up unless we Christians raise them up for the Lord Jesus Christ? During the election of 2004, Americans thought it was more important to strengthen the family than create more jobs and fight pollution. Did you know that? 2004. Besides the presidential election, Americans in 11 states also voted to protect the traditional marriage. They passed ballot measures defining marriage as between one man and one woman, forbidding the union of sodomite couples. That's what the Bible says. Don't call me one of them homophobic. Don't you call me a homo. I'll whack you. But anyway, I'm not homophobic. Everybody needs to get saved. They need to get saved. They need to do what the Bible says. And before the vote was cast, Senate Majority Leader Bill Feist, Republican from Tennessee, told the Senate, and I quote, "The question is no longer whether the Constitution will be amended. The only question is who will amend it and how it will be amended. Will activist judges not elected by the American people destroy the institution of marriage? Or will the people protect marriage in the best way to raise children? America understands that children need mothers and fathers. We'd be foolish to permit a vast, untested social experiment on families and children, the bedrock of our society." He said, "For now, the definition of marriage remains in the hands of the unelected judges." And you guessed it, in 2016, these unelected judges voted to legalize the same-sex marriage, which is a curse to our country. Let me be very clear on this. Marriage is the most important institution in our society. It is vital to ensuring social stability. Truly, it is the most important social safety net in our country. A man and a woman who are married act together as a team to share the moral and financial responsibility of raising children, not the government. Consistently, surveys show that children from homes with intact marriages, particularly those that emphasize religion, do better in life, and their families are better prepared to weather the tough times. Isn't that amazing? I didn't have to say that, right? I mean, you all know that. Many in our society seriously misunderstand that God intended, when He gave us His instruction manual called the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. For instance, theft destroys the basis of trust needed in civil society. Adultery destroys families and casts chaos in the further generations. These are words and wisdoms that come from the manufacturer, whose name is Jesus Christ. Here's a list of the states that approved constitutional amendments defining marriage in November 2nd, 2004. These are the results. Arkansas said, "We want marriage between a man and a woman," 75%. Georgia, 77%. Kentucky, 75%. Michigan, 59%, which I'm an embarrassment. Mississippi, 86%. Montana, 66%. Isn't that amazing? North Dakota, 73%. Ohio, 62%. Oklahoma, 76%. Oregon, 57%. Utah, 66%. Comparative initiatives were passed in several other states: Alaska, Hawaii, Nebraska, Nevada, Missouri, Louisiana, and similar margins were passed just in a few months. But those dirty rascals that are unelected, they tipped all this over that all of our states says, no, we do not want homosexuality, or may I say sodomy. We want marriage between a man and a woman only. Number five, God intended marriage to consist of three elements that are vital in marriage. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Genesis chapter 2, 24 contains three elements necessary truly of marriage. There must be a leaving, there must be cleaving, and there must be a fusion of one flesh. Unless all three of these take place, there is no true marriage between the two couples involved. Consequently, two young people who engage in premarital sex acts are not married, even though physically they were one flesh. There is no leaving and no cleaving. Amen? They're guilty of the Bible calls fornication, a sexual union between two unmarried persons. It is wrong. Absolutely, consistently wrong. We do not want our daughters to have sex before they get married. We don't want our boys either. We want them to be pure. Let me tell you what I asked my girls at my church. Will you do me this favor? The day that you walk down this aisle, I want you to tell me, preacher, I'm pure. That'll be the greatest gift you'll ever give your preacher. I'm pure. That's the greatest gift you'll ever give your daddy. It's the greatest gift you ever give your mama. My mom, I just want you to know I'm pure. I've saved myself. And the greatest gift you'll ever give to your spouse. Let me tell you something. It is not right. I don't care what anybody says. It is not right. It is against the Word of God. The Bible says it's not good for a man to touch a woman. Unity of marriage, one flesh, is the deepest meaning included much more than just the physical union of man and woman. It is the sharing of feelings and ambitions and desires. The couples are to share those thoughts. For this reason, the couple needs many common or complementary interests to enable them to grow together. Get to know them. Find out about them. I know you'll make a mistake. I know that. Have somebody give somebody veto power. I had a couple of kids in my church. This preacher says, I want you to tell me who to marry. I said, you are out of your la cabeza. I spoke Spanish to them. I said, no es muy inteligente en la cabeza. I said, they're stupid in the head. But anyway, speaking in tongues in our church, how about that, amen? And they said, why not? I said, that's your job. But I said, if you'll give me veto power, because love is blind, the neighbors ain't. One guy come to the office, told me he's going to get married. I said, you're an idiot. He said, what do you mean? I said, you shouldn't marry her. I said, you have trouble. 3 years after that, they're divorced. I've seen some things. I don't tell you that because I hate you. I tell you that I love you. Don't you think that I want you to be married and have a happy marriage like I had and other people have? Don't you think that I want you to do the best and the greatest thing for God? That's what I'm here for. So get somebody to, hey, my mama, sorry, Marcia, I'm going to tell it anyway. I brought home a girl. She was a cute little thing. And the boy, could she sing. Oh, she was on the choir, traveling choir, and she sang ensembles. She sang, when the girls sing, like a trio or whatever. She was good. And she's cute. I brought her home. And my mama says, only a mama can tell her son this. I thought I was madly in love. And she said, she's not the one for you, is she? I said, no, I guess she's not. You know why I said that? You know why I said that? Because my mama loved me. I could trust her. I brought that little blonde Norwegian girl home. In an hour and a half, this is what she said. She's the one, isn't she? I said, yes, she is. And we were leaving for college, and my daddy says to me, real quiet, he said, don't you dare let that little Norwegian girl get away from you, boy. I'm glad I listened to my mama. I'm glad I listened. I'm glad I listened. So listen to people. Listen to them. Oh, sometimes we get a little carried away. And we get a little warm and hot, and you name all it, and boy, hey, and all of a sudden someone says, I don't know, and then you say, well, I'm married, I don't care what anybody says. Well, go ahead. I'm going to keep living the way I am. You're going to have something, something you wanted, and now you got it, and you can't get rid of it, amen. Because marriage is for how long? Forever. Thank you. It's interesting to observe a couples who have enjoyed a good marriage for 40, 50 years and see how they become one in speech and accent and sometimes even looks. It's humbling for a man to know that he is incomplete without his woman. But it is his glory to know that that woman was created for him. I said to Marcia, I said, Marcia, how in the world this little farm boy from Michigan ever came out to Minnesota and find such a beautiful little preacher's daughter? How did that happen? And she says, I don't know. And then I said, I'll tell you, God knew. Hey, there's a lot of ladies out there. There's a lot of ladies out there you can marry. But you want the right one. You don't want the wrong one. You can't make a mistake on this thing. This is so important. Be very careful. Likewise, it's humbling to the woman to know that she was created for the man. Nothing else. You weren't created for your babies. You were created for that man that you married. But it is to her glory to know that she alone can only complete him. You can't complete anybody else. And she's glorious. And man, I can complete him. Just some of hymns, you've just got a little more work to do. Amen. Thank you, Marcia. Marcia. I got it. I know you had a lot of work on me. Amen. Number six. God intended marriage to be according to the Scriptures. Now, this is what marriage is. You ought to put this down. Hebrews 13:4. Hebrews 13:4. Marriage is honorable in all. The bed undefiled. It's a wonderful thing to be married to a woman that you do not have to worry about. That you can trust that she's pure and she's clean. You can just come home. The marriage bed is undefiled. But look what the Bible said. But a whoremonger, an adulterer, God will judge. I know men have been murderers and nobody knew about it. And I know men that have been robbers and men that have done a lot of terrible things in life. But I'll tell you what. Let me tell you something. You listen to me, boys. Listen to me. You'll never get away with immorality. You'll never get away with it. You'll never get away with it. There's just something about it. The Bible says when you take another man's wife into your bosom, you'll be burned. Well, there's some kind of smoky smell there. There's something that you'll be caught. So don't be stupid. You say, well, I can get away with it. If anybody could get away with it, don't you think David the king could have got away with it? He can get away with it. Don't think you're going to get away with it. You're not going to. Ladies, you're not going to get away with it. I talked to a family a while back, and they said that this pastor, wonderful man, great church, his wife came up to him and said, I don't want to be married anymore. I found me another man. God have mercy. Can you imagine how many people that touched? Can you imagine how many people and people's faith and trust, can you imagine what it did to that church? Hey, just think what it did to their children. Sad thing about it, they adopted some children. Think what it does. Hey, there's more to life than just you, buddy. Hey, sister, there's more to life than your joys and your delights. Destroying people's lives because of 5 to 10 minutes of craziness. Are you out of your brain? Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replace or fill up the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon it. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh thereof. Verse 24, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Number 7, God intended mankind to understand the wiles of the devil when it comes to the assault on marriage. pastor friend of mine told me that another pastor was on an airplane. He's flying to a certain place to preach. He was sitting next to a very lovely looking lady. And she said to him, "What do you do?" He said, "I'm a Baptist preacher." And she said, "Woo!" She said, "I am a witch." Well, that's a blessing, amen. 37,000 feet above the ground. I'm a witch. And she said, "Let me tell you a little bit what we're doing. We sacrificed last month to Satan that we'd try our best to destroy every pastor in his wife's relationship." He said the hair on his head stood up straight. And he said, we are trying our hardest to do that. Let me tell you something. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. But when a person is stupid enough to let down his guard and allow people to penetrate his soul, you're in trouble. The Bible says that we need to have that guard up, that we may fight the devil in his fiery darts. Have that shield up. Have the sword of the faith, helmet of salvation. We need to be prepared to understand that there are destructive elements out in this world that want to destroy us. Hey, you destroy a family, you can destroy a church. A church I will not mention, but there's a church that a man and woman became friends with another man and woman, and they started getting close. And one night, the one man and the other guy's wife were immoral. She felt terrible about it. She came to her pastor, said, "Pastor, this is what happened." And the pastor said, "You need to get that right with God. You need to get it right with your husband." Came, got right. He and her sat over here. The other, he and her sat over there. And about a month later, the pastor says, "You know, one of you guys got to leave." She says, "I watch you, and I see every once in a while glancing over." What a terrible thing. Good people. Good intentions of people. Destroying God's work. Folks, I'm telling you what, there's a lot of things out there that's crazy. Here's some assault. I want to just give you some. First of all, Satan seems to unleash every weapon of arsenal to destroy our marriages today. Here's a list of some of the popular darts that he flings at us. Number one, the new morality that we have. Since the 1960s, American morals have been undergoing the widely publicized revolution, as they call it. At first, it seemed like a great deal of talking without any action. However, today, there's a mounting evidence that the real change is taking place in America's society. Much behavior that previously were frowned upon are now accepted. Satan has brand wars people into giving a new label, accepting unthinking individuals. Philosophy today is the couple in love may engage in premarital sex. The motto is no ring, no strings. If you fall out of love, you can just find another lover and start all over again. Is that right or wrong? Wrong. Completely wrong. God made you for one person. Secondly, we have what we call the Playboy philosophy. Centuries ago, philosophers taught that pleasure was the highest good of men. Philosophy of Hinduism has never left planet Earth. Their philosophy says that sexual pleasures is like any other pleasures, no different than the pleasure derived from eating a delicious steak. You deserve pleasures. Sexual Indulgence is merely a form of recreation. Even if you're a friend, you ought to have sex. This kind of philosophy teaches that women exist mainly to give pleasure to men. That's what it does. Needless to say, it is completely a denial of Christianity morals. You're denying Christian morals. Hey, you're only supposed to have one husband, one wife. That's all you need. That's all you get. Situation ethics. The world says that there are times when immorality is really moral, depending on the situation, the application of the law of love. A women's liberation movement that happened. The radicals are calling for abortion of the families, abortion on demand. They promote to change the Bible roles in marriage. We have what we call the number five. We have the no-fault divorce. Nevada judges now dispense divorces in groups of 20 at a time. Couples in England separated for 2 years. They get a postcard in the mail. They're divorced. Postcard. Hey, that's not what I joined up for, brother. I want a lasting union. I want to be hooked together with this girl forever. Couples with reconcilable differences simply ask for dissolution of their marriage. It's called the no pressure. It was God who put the lock in the wedlock, amen. So this practice directly is contrary to the Word of God. Wherefore, they are no more twain but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let no man. I'm a man. You're a man. You're a woman. Says, let no man put asunder. You have no right. On these occasions, Romans chapter 7:2 and also 1 Corinthians 7:39, Paul indicated that a wife is bound to her husband as long as he and she lives. We have an educational system out there. Modern education system has instructors and courses and textbooks that present young people with perverted views of sex and marriage. Yes, Satan is making an assault against marriages. Over 60% of the people in the United States are divorced. By the way, Cathay County, same thing. Every 10 marriages, there are 8 divorces. I don't know about you, but I'm going to fight for mine. The world has gone wild. You ever wonder why? Could it be that maybe the Lord is coming back? Listen to what the Bible says in Luke chapter 17. And as it was in the day of Noe, so shall it be in the day of the Son of Man. They did eat and drank. They married wives. And they were given in marriage until the day that Noe entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, also, as it was in the day of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. Daniel 12:2. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal up the book. Even to the time of the end, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Imagine renting a rustic wooden cabin in a beautiful forest setting for your honeymoon. The place is delightful. At dawn, however, there's a woodpecker that starts a loud rat-a-tat-tat pounding on the roof. And the noise is so loud you can't sleep. It happened at dawn the next morning, and again the third morning and the fourth. What could you do? Many people say, well, I'd shot that old stinking bird. Some say, who cares? It's your honeymoon. This incident with the woodpecker happened to be Gracie and Walter Lance on their honeymoon. They were inspired to create the cartoon character Woody the Woodpecker. Walter was an illustrator. Gracie was the voice. Many years later, when they were interviewed on their 50th wedding anniversary, Gracie said, "It was the best thing that ever happened to us." Hey, love your wife as Christ loved the church. Love your husband. Give everything you got to each other. The Bible says, if you love your life, you love your wife. I hope tonight that you just kind of are careful about some things that are going out in this world. I want you to be very careful about how that the tempter is trying to tempt and to ruin you. I know some of you have gone through some pretty difficult times in your life. I'm just telling you, I'm trying to save the rest of them not have to go through that kind of junk. I don't want to go through that. It's terrible. I'd rather have a death than a divorce. Can I tell you why? At death, everybody remembers the good side of them. But a divorce, you have to keep that level of aggression. You got to keep that bitterness. You just got to keep it. Because if you don't, you start thinking it was your fault. My saying is this: go to God and tell the Lord you're sorry. Number two, forgive him or forgive her. Just say, "Lord, I'm not going to carry this anymore." Jesus said, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, that ye love one another." When Jesus Christ, hanging on the cross, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." That's what you need to do. Just say, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what to do." And then get on with life. Love that new husband of yours, a new wife of yours. Just love them to death. Learn from the mistakes. Get on with life. Hey, you know what? God wants us to be happy, doesn't he? God wants us to have joy in life. God wants us to be to go on with life. God wants us to do that. I pray that you would be very careful about that. There are things the Bible says that there are places in the Bible that tell us that there are some times that marry again. And we trust that God will keep us straight and on that in that area of life. Let's pray. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you for all you give to us. We thank you for these wonderful people. Many of them have heartaches and sorrows. Many of them have seen the pressures of life and pressures of family and things and troubles and heartaches. But Lord God, help us to be more like you. Help us, Lord Jesus, to rest in your love. Lord, I pray that because of this, that this would help others to be very careful in their ways of finding the one to love. Lord, I pray that they'd be careful. I pray for that we who's married, that we'd be very careful how on our deportment with others. Lord God, I pray you'd help us now just to serve you in a great way. And all God's people said, and you're dismissed. God bless you, folks.